and welcome to the Ely Team online service on Sunday the 16th of August. My name is Ruth New and I am the Children and Families Missioner and a licensed Children and Families Lay Minister at St Mary's Church in Ely. On behalf of all of the churches in the team, I would like to welcome you here this morning. Whether you have joined us many times before or whether this morning is the first time you have joined us. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, you are very, very welcome here. Later on this morning, I'm going to be joined by Phil, who's going to be talking to us about the Old Testament character of Abigail as we continue our series looking at different characters from the Old Testament. So as we open our worship together this morning, as we open our hearts to the Lord, as we welcome the Holy Spirit, let us say together the opening prayer. Please do join in with the words in bold. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Faithful One, whose word is life, come with saving power to free our praise, inspire our prayer and shape our lives. For the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So we come now to our first worship song, Tell Out My Soul. Please feel free to simply listen or join in and sing as we open our hearts to worship the Lord by celebrating his greatness and the many blessings that he gives us. Jesus, as we stand or sit before you this morning, help us to put down the things that make our hearts proud, the things that make our minds stubborn. Open our ears that we may hear you, our eyes that we may see you, and our hearts that we may know you more today. Amen. And today's Bible reading is 1 Samuel chapter 25 verses 1 to 12. That's 1 Samuel 25 verses 1 to 12. You may like to find it in your own Bible or on an app if that's what you use. The reading is read by Annabelle, one of the children from our congregation at St Mary's. Once Annabelle has finished the reading, I'm going to hand straight over to Phil, who is going to talk to us more about the character of Abigail.
Now Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him, and they buried him at his home in Ramah. Then David moved down into the desert of Paran. A certain man in Maon, who had property there at Carmel, was very wealthy. He had 1,000 goats and 3,000 sheep, which he was shearing in Carmel. His name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman, but her husband was surly and mean in his dealings. He was a Calebite. While David was in the wilderness, he heard that Nabal was shearing sheep. So he sent 10 young men and said to them, "Go up to Nabal at Carmel and greet him in my name. Say to him, 'Long life to you, good health to you and your household, and good health to all that is yours. Now I hear that it is sheep shearing time. When your shepherds were with us, we did not mistreat them. And the whole time they were at Carmel, nothing of theirs was missing. Ask your own servants, and they will tell you. Therefore, be favourable towards my men, since we come at a festive time. Please give your servants and your son David whatever you can find for them.' When David's men arrived, they gave Nabal this message in David's name. Then they waited. Nabal answered David's servants, 'Who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and water and the meat I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men coming from who knows where?' David's men turned around and went back. When they arrived, they reported every word."
So good morning. My name's Phil Marsh. I'm part of the congregation at St Mary's, and Chris and the team have asked me this morning to share some thoughts on the character of Abigail in the story of David and Nabal. So our sermon this morning picks up where the reading left off. And David and his crew are preparing to go and give Nabal a bit of a kicking. He's armed 400 of his men, and because of a slight against David, David's going to go and do him in. And to be fair, it would seem that Nabal has it coming and is deserving of what is coming his way. David and his men have been protecting Nabal's flocks, making sure that nothing's been stolen, no one's been carried off. And David's decided that now is a good time to go and ask for something in return for that act of service. By way of backdrop on David's decision making here, he's on the run from an angry King Saul. We're in that season where King Saul and David, who's been anointed as the next king, have really fallen out with each other. And so David's trying to avoid King Saul. He's got a small army of men that are following him around. And so he has many mouths to feed. So performing this kind of service of looking after Nabal's flocks and then expecting something in return for that is kind of entirely reasonable. He is dependent on the generosity of those that he's serving. So he sent a really reasonable request to Nabal, fair payment for services offered. And he's been really polite about it. Gently reminding him of the traditions of the festival that they're celebrating at this point in time, like a harvest festival of sorts, where people are encouraged to be generous to one another and to their neighbours. David's not even asked for a specified amount. So Nabal is very rich. We've got that impression from the text. And David hasn't asked for a particular number of sheep or a particular amount of money. He's just asked for Nabal to give to his men whatever he can spare. It left, right and centre seems to be a really reasonable request. But Nabal, for whatever reason, decides he's having none of it. And he sends a message back to David that basically says, "Who do you think you are to come here demanding payment for the services you've given? Who are you anyway?" he kind of asks, if you read the rest of the chapter in 1 Samuel chapter 25. Now, the crazy thing is, of course, everybody knew who David was. And we read elsewhere that the people are singing about how Saul, King Saul, is slaying his enemies in the thousands and David by the tens of thousands. So I reckon Nabal's got a pretty good idea about who David is at this point. So it's worth noticing that he's also got some chutzpah here. He's got some nerve challenging David and sending this slight, this insult back to him. David doesn't take it well. And where we finished our reading, we see that he has armed 400 men and he's going to go and give Nabal what for. So at this point, enter stage right, Abigail, Nabal's wife, the saviour of the peace. And I use that term of Abigail quite deliberately, because I think that's who she is in this passage. So the first thing we see is her immediate wisdom. A servant comes and tells her what's happened and that it's all about to kick off. And they know that Nabal is a fool and nobody can talk to this cruel and mean man. So quick as a flash, Abigail sets about diverting disaster. And the passage goes on to say, Abigail hurried. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 leather bags full of wine, 5 cooked sheep, 15 kilograms of cooked grain, 100 cakes of raisins and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and put all these on donkeys. Then she told her servants, go, I'll follow you. But she didn't tell her husband. Abigail rode her donkey and came down towards the mountain ravine. There she met David and his men coming down towards her. David had just said, it's been useless. I watched over Nabal's property in the desert. I made sure none of his sheep was missing. I did good to him, but he has paid me back with evil. May God punish my enemies even more. I will not leave one of Nabal's men alive until morning. When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed face down on the ground before him. She fell at David's feet and said, my master, let the blame be on me. Please let me talk to you. Listen to what I say. David does listen to Abigail and he relents from his course of action. Abigail quite literally saves the day. And here on the surface, we might see Abigail simply as a woman full of courage and wisdom and a real peacemaker. And she truly, truly is. But just notice the position that she puts herself in verse 23. When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed face down to the ground before him. She fell at David's feet and said, my master, let the blame be on me. I wonder if you notice where Jesus is in this passage. We often identify David as a type of Jesus. When we see Jesus, when we see David slaying Goliath, we see Jesus overcoming our giants, our enemies. When we see David as the promised king, we see him as a forerunner of the King of Kings, that of course is going to be Jesus. But in this passage, it isn't David who is front and centre here. It's Abigail. It's Abigail in this passage that reflects Jesus to us. She humbles herself as she kneels before David. And she serves both David and Nabal in the midst of this. Neither of whom actually are really very deserving of it. She's a rich woman, the wife of a rich man, and she lowers herself to the status of servant so that there might be peace, that Nabal's life might be spared, and that David too might be rescued from his own folly. Just for a moment, lay Abigail's actions alongside that great hymn of praise from Philippians 2 that speaks of Jesus, declaring him not considering equality with God something to be grasped, but humbled himself to be born as one of us, to take on the very nature of the servant, even to humble himself to death on a cross. And here is Abigail, a rich woman, kneeling on the ground before David, declaring in verse 24, "Let the blame fall on me." Although Nabal is a fool and a mean man and undeserving of any grace, Abigail takes responsibility for his actions. This is precisely the good news of Jesus Christ, that though we are undeserving of any grace, though we are undeserving of any forgiveness, though we have been foolish, though we have fallen short, Jesus Christ stands in our place in his death and resurrection so that we might be forgiven. That's precisely the position that Abigail takes on in this passage. Here is Jesus hidden in the Old Testament in the actions of this faithful woman. "Please forgive my wrong," Abigail says. But the woman is guilty of nothing. She has done nothing wrong. Yet she humbles herself to take the blame upon herself. It is Jesus through and through. And so Nabal, well, he is spared, at least from the hand of David. But he is not the only one who Abigail rescues in the midst of this. Abigail also rescues David. She rescues David from his own folly. In all honesty, this is not David's finest hour. For sure, Nabal has slighted him, but David's armed 400 men and gonna go and do Nabal over and his entire household. You heard earlier as we read the passage that David, as Abigail approaches, David has just been declaring to his men what he's gonna do. That he's not just gonna kill Nabal, but he's gonna kill every other man in Nabal's household as well. Can you imagine what regret David might live with that for the rest of his life? Another commentator has pointed out that David was very good at offering patience and peace and grace to Saul, who hated him. But here, when someone else has slighted David, David isn't consistent in his character. Here, over this slight, which arguably is way smaller than Saul's antagonism of David, David's going out all guns blazing. This is the future promised king of Israel, King David here, about to soil his copybook. And Abigail rescues him from it. Abigail intercedes on Nabal's behalf, but also urges David to avoid his folly. She averts David having to live with the consequences of his temper. And more than that, she boldly reminds him of who it is who fights for David, of who it is that serves David. She says this: "Please let me talk to you. Listen to what I say. My master, don't pay attention to this worthless man Nabal. He is like his name. His name means fool, and he truly is a fool. But I, your servant, didn't see the men you sent. The Lord has kept you from punishing and killing anyone. As surely as the Lord lives, and as surely as you live, may your enemies become like Nabal. I've brought a gift to you for the men who follow you. Please forgive my wrong. The Lord will certainly let your family have many kings because you fight his battles. As long as you live, may you do nothing bad. Someone might chase you to kill you, but the Lord your God will keep you alive. He will throw away your enemies' lives as he would throw a stone from a sling. The Lord will keep all his promises of good things for you. He'll make you leader over Israel. Then you won't feel guilty or troubled because you killed innocent people and punished them." I love that moment. I'd love to have seen David's face when Abigail says, "The Lord will deal with your enemies as surely as a stone being slung from a sling." David must have suddenly thought, "Oh, that's Goliath." That moment where he very boldly, as a young lad, declares that God will fight for him, that God will give his enemies into his hands. And here is David doing what we see a lot of characters in the Bible doing, which is forgetting God's faithfulness. And rather than trusting in God to sort stuff out, he takes matters into his own hands, or he's about to in this case. And here, Abigail speaks real truth to David and to David's folly, and rescues David from that course of action. She reminds David about the enormity of who God is and what God does for us. How cool is that? This woman, Abigail, is a saviour. She rescues Nabal and his whole household and David. Here, Abigail points us to Jesus, our rescuer, our redeemer. And here, I think, is where we do want to pay attention to Abigail's wisdom and to Abigail's peacekeeping. She becomes, in this story, a pointer towards Jesus and the good news that's available to us all. But also, she is, in her own world, an agent of God's change. We will all find ourselves in situations like this from time to time, where we will need to account and deal with someone else's folly. We will need to smooth over troubled waters when stuff goes awry. We will need to speak truth to friends and those over us who perhaps are getting stuff wrong. And that's not easy to do. And I think there's something here about walking closely with Jesus so that we might have that kind of wisdom that helps us navigate those moments. Something of the light of Christ within us that gives us the courage to speak out when something's wrong. Something of the grace and forgiveness of Jesus Christ in our own lives so that we can mitigate that grace and forgiveness towards others. And something I notice is that it isn't just people of faith who are able to demonstrate that kind of wisdom, demonstrate that kind of peace seeking. And I think we want to recognise that, pay attention to those people around us who have wisdom in those difficult moments when things flare up, who are able to seek peace, who are able to speak truth to power. I think we want to notice those people and recognise that they also are involved in bringing something of God's kingdom to bear in those situations. And we might even want to encourage them with that. So maybe just gently draw alongside them and say, I noticed you handled that situation with real wisdom. I notice you spoke real peace into that troubled conversation. And I just want to thank you for that. I just want to observe that for me, that is something that's really godly. That looks to me like the kingdom of God. And I just want to bless you for that act. We might not be the only people that God works through in a situation to bring his wisdom and peace to bear. We pray, don't we? God's kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. We seek and look for those moments of transformation in the world around us. And when we or others are involved in peacemaking, we're seeing something of God's kingdom come. And we or others are able to bring the wisdom of God to bear in a situation that we're involved in. We are seeing God's wisdom at work in the world. When we are able to speak truth lovingly and honestly to those around us or over us, we can be playing our part in God's rescuing and redeeming of the situation that they find themselves in, as Abigail did with David. And in all these things, we adopt, like Abigail, the nature of a servant. We don't offer wisdom and peace in a kind of aggrandized, haughty way, but we humble ourselves to gently serve those around us for their blessing, for their benefit, for the sake of the work of Christ in their lives. And that's a pretty tall order, isn't it? This being called to be agents of God's change in the world, to be peacemakers, to be those who speak wisdom into difficult situations. And there's no hard and fast kind of rules of how to go about this. Sometimes when two people are going at it hammer and tongs, it's actually not right to interfere. But there are other times when being the one that calls for peace is absolutely the right thing to do. There are times when speaking truth to power, as Abigail does to David, is terrifying, and we just won't have the words. But here's where I want to suggest that this is precisely why our walking close to Jesus matters. You see, I don't think our seeking to walk closely with Jesus is really just about being for our blessing, for our comfort. It's about ensuring that we are ready and equipped to serve those around us. We're ready and equipped for those moments where we get to be involved in bringing something of God's peace, bringing something of God's wisdom into a situation. It is our proximity to God, it's our proximity to Jesus that is going to equip us for those moments, wherever and whenever we encounter them. So, somehow, Abigail was bang on the money in every regard in this story. It was full of risk for her to both do this without her husband knowing and, of course, to approach an armed band of men and try and seek peace. We need to decide whether or not it was simply Abigail's human brilliance that led her to that moment, that enabled her to navigate her way and find peace for everyone involved in this circumstance, or whether or not it was something of God at work within her and through her. And I believe whenever we see that happening, whether it's someone else that's doing it or whether we notice it in our own lives and practice, it is always the activity of God that is bringing those things to bear. So keep an eye out. Keep an eye out for the people around you who make wise decisions and who make peace. Encourage them by reflecting with them that they are actively involved in the very work of God, that they're involved in seeing God's kingdom come by bringing that wisdom and that peacemaking to bear. Pray for managers and business leaders and politicians, for those in positions of authority, that God would raise up around them men and women like Abigail who would speak truth to them, who would bring their wisdom, God's wisdom, to bear in their decision making. And let us continue to invest in cultivating our own walk with Jesus, in our own prayers, our own reading of scripture, our own fellowshipping with one another, our own growing in faith, not just so that we might feel more blessed, but so that we might be well equipped for those moments where we have opportunity to bring God's kingdom to bear in our peacemaking, in our wise decision making of navigating our way through the sometimes turbulent situations that we find ourselves in. That way, we'll always be operating out of His wisdom. We'll always be operating out of God's grace. And when necessary and where right, we too, like Abigail, might be agents of change, agents of seeing God's kingdom come, bringing His peace and seeing His wisdom at work in the world. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Abigail and thank you for her character, her wisdom, and the picture that she is to us of one who seeks your peace and serves those around her in your name. We pray, Lord God, for those situations we know that are difficult, where there are tensions, where there are arguments, where there are falling out, where there are unresolved conflicts and issues. We pray, Father, that you would help us to be agents of peace. You'd help us to be dealers of wisdom in those moments. Help us to identify and discern when it is right to speak and when it is right to stay quiet, when it is right to urge peace, and when we can be involved in bringing those things to bear. Father, keep us working close, we pray, walking close, we pray, with you and Jesus by your Holy Spirit, that in all of our doings and in all of our being, we might be led and guided by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Phil. It's now time for our next worship song, Faithful One. As we reflect on what Phil has just said, we sing or listen to the words about Christ being our rock, our anchor, about being there when we call out, come what may, about Christ being there in all of our decision making. So please do continue to think about what Phil has just said as we respond in worship to the song Faithful One. Sometimes we have to make hard decisions in difficult circumstances. Help us to turn to you in those moments. Help us to remember that you are our rock, our anchor. You are there when we cry out to you. Help us to make decisions that are right, that are good, and to recognise you at work in the decisions of others. Lord, help us to be humble, help us to be peaceful. We ask this in the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We turn now to a time of confession. This is an opportunity to confess the times when we have perhaps got it wrong, when we have perhaps made the wrong decisions. If you would like to offer this prayer and make it yours, please join in with the words in bold. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith." Together we pray. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So may the God of love bring us back to himself, forgive us our sins, and assure us of his eternal love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We now have an opportunity to affirm our faith. Please do join in with the words in bold. Do you believe and trust in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. It's now time for our intercessions, and I'm going to hand over to Scarlett, who is going to lead us today in our prayers.
Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the opportunity we have been given in the world of being able to speak out about all kinds of things and our opinions to be heard, whether through the church or our bishops. Thank you also for the links we have to our community. Help us as a church to speak wisdom and peace where we can. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, please grant our world leaders enough wisdom to get us through the trying times we are enduring. We are sorry that peace isn't being shown right now, but instead violence is being used to stop things like protests. We are thankful that even during this pandemic, positive things are happening worldwide, which, if looked for, can bring joy to those around. We pray for world leaders and people who make decisions that they would look to you for wisdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, please help us keep the peace while social distancing, as sometimes this can lead to stress and unneeded arguments. We are sorry for times when we have not been peacekeepers or when we have ignored wisdom we have. We are thankful that we live in a peaceful community that has dealt with everything over the past few months very well. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, please help us to provide support and wisdom to those we know who aren't doing so well under the situation we are in. We are sorry for times when we haven't used our wisdom to help other people and instead decided to be selfish and use it for our own advantage. We are thankful that you have stayed with us through recent events and have helped us with caring for our friends and families in a safe way. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
It's now time for our final song. Please do feel free to sit, reflect and listen, or join in and sing along wherever you are. The song is "Everlasting God, Strength Will Rise." And as we listen to the words, let us think about what it means to wait upon the Lord. Father, we thank you that you are an everlasting God, that you are there in all circumstances, that you do not grow weary. Help us each day to grow more like Christ, to listen to your voice in all of our decision making. Heavenly Father, as we go from here today, help us to turn to you each and every day. In all that we do, we ask this in the name of our Saviour, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we close our service today, I would like to say a big thank you to all of those who have been involved in putting it together, to those that have read, prayed, have given us our talk, and to the worship team for our worship music today. Without all of these people, the service would not have been possible. So a big thank you from us. A big thank you also to all of those who have contributed financially during this time. We are very thankful for your contributions that have allowed our ministry across the team to continue during this time. If you would like to know more about giving to any of the team churches, then please do contact the St Mary's Church office in the first instance. On 01353 659 550 or office@stmarysely.org. As you may be aware, many of the churches have also started to offer in-person services. If you would like to know more about these services, then please contact either the church wardens or the office at St Mary's Church, who will gladly give you some more information. Next week at St Mary's on Sunday the 23rd, there will be an 8:30 communion service. If you would like to book into this service, you will need to register at www.stmarysely.org stmarysely.org or again call the church office on 01353 659 550 and they will be able to book you in for that service. We will also be back online next week, so do please join us online if you are unable to attend in person or are not ready to do so yet. As we come to the end of our service today, let us say these closing words together. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of your holy word. May it be a lantern to our feet, a light upon our paths, and a strength to our lives. Take us and use us to love and serve all people in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.